companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message. And mashallah, today on the Silsila, the Timeless Message, we are going to be discussing a very beautiful topic, a very enlightening topic, and that is regarding the worldly abode. Yes, we are going to be discussing this temporary abode. We are going to be discussing as well the real reason of which you and I are here on this planet Earth. And also we are going to be discussing ways to improve our hereafter. We are going to be discussing about love of the world and much more, inshallah. So as we go along, as we journey along, inshallah, we are going to be covering many different aspects in relation to this. So do stay tuned to your screens. And for now, we are going to be mentioning the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of loves and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, viewers of Madani Channel, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost for the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you and I. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to wake up this morning, another opportunity for you and I to do more and more good so that we can invest in our hereafter. And as always, as a reminder, we have to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. When you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran teaches us, Allah ta'ala will grant you more, Allah ta'ala will grant you more barakah. So, whether you have less, whether you have more, always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, we are discussing the worldly abode. And I want to start off with a beautiful Quranic verse, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقُلْنَا هَبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. And we said, descend, you shall become enemies for each other, and there is residence and provision for you in the earth until a specified time. Subhanallah, it was a Madani Channel. Something for us to ponder upon. We came into this dunya, we came into this world, we are living here, and soon we are going to depart from it to the next. Now, if we think for a moment, we find that we have different kinds of relationships in this world. For example, we have a relationship of respect with our parents, a relationship of love with our children, with our spouse, a relationship of companionship and affection with our friends. Likewise, we meet people while traveling and, you know, and exchange greetings. This is a temporary relationship. The question is, what kind of a relationship do we have with this dunya, do we have with this world? And we have heard the verse of the Holy Quran. And in this, the answer to our question is given, clarifying the nature of our relationship with the world. As it is mentioned, وَقُلْنَا, and we said. And this refers to when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was in Jannah, and the incident of eating the fruit of the heavenly tree took place. After that, Allah Ta'ala said, اِهْبِطُوا, descend. So it's as though Allah Ta'ala is saying that, O Adam, you and your offspring, all of you descend from paradise to the earth. Thereafter, the verse continues, بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ, you shall become enemies for each other. Now here, It is like Allah Ta'ala said, "Oh Adam, your offspring will be enemies to one another. The non-Muslims will always be hostile towards Muslims. And those who follow falsehood will always be opposed to those who follow the truth." Now, this clarifies a common misconception, views of Madani Jannah. That some reckless individuals, they say that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was expelled from Jannah, from paradise. They say because he ate the fruit of Jannah, the fruit of paradise, we are the ones suffering the consequences. Allahu Akbar. This is an extremely or extraordinarily foolish and ignorant statement. It was not Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam who brought us from paradise to the earth. Instead, we are the reason for his descent to earth. He was and still is among the dwellers of Jannah. Among his descendants were two kinds of people. You have the righteous and you have the irreligious. And the believers destined for Jannah and the disbelievers destined for Jahannam, there has always been enmity between them. And when Allah Ta'ala sent Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam from Jannah to the earth, it is as though Allah Ta'ala said, "Oh Adam, go to earth, your offspring will live there. And a distinction will be made among them. Then on the day of Qiyamah, those destined for Jahannam will enter Jahannam, while you and your righteous offspring will return to paradise where you shall remain forever." Allahu Akbar. We see Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he was a companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a great mufassir, commentator of the Holy Quran. He is also known as Sultan al-Mufassirin, the king of those who write commentary in Tafasir. So once the then king of Rome wrote a letter to him and asked a question. He wrote, "If a person has guests in his home, is it appropriate for him to expel the guests from the house?" Now, this was a subtle reference to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam being sent down from paradise. What was his reply? Subhanallah, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he gave such a beautiful, remarkable response. He said that it certainly is, definitely, it's not appropriate to expel a guest from the house. Yet, when a guest arrives, he is told to freshen up, remove the dust from his clothes, wash his hands and face, and relieve himself if needed before sitting comfortably at the dining mat. Allah Ta'ala sending Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam from Jannah to earth was of the same nature. So it was though it was said that, "Oh Adam, go to earth. In your offspring are some unworthy souls. Leave them there. After unloading this burden, return with your righteous offspring and dwell in Jannah. Stay in Jannah forever in peace and comfort." Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, we also see some people say, everyone is right in their own way. Whoever follows whichever path, whether kufr or Islam, all are valid. This is what, you know, some people say. This statement is completely wrong. Everyone cannot be right. A Muslim is a Muslim and a non-Muslim is a non-Muslim. You call a spade. Just as fire and water cannot exist together, likewise, those who follow the truth and those who follow falsehood can never be the same. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرُّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. And there is residence and provision for you in the earth until a specified time. In this verse, it describes our relationship with the world. Our connection with it is not one out of reverence, or nor is it one of love. Rather, we are travelers passing through. Just as a traveler pauses for a short while along the way to tend to his needs and then continues towards his destination, we are exactly like this, exactly the same as this. Our destination is what? Our destination is closeness to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Jannah, the eternal abode of Jannah. We began our journey from where? From Alam al-Arwah, from the realm of souls, and we will remain in this world for a fixed duration. And then after this, where do we move? Where do we go? We go on to Alam al-Barzakh. We go onto the realm of Barzakh. And from there, the journey will proceed to the path, to the plains of resurrection. And finally, if Allah Ta'ala wills, inshallah, we will reach our destination, which is Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that one day I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resting upon a mat made of date palm leaves, and the marks of the mat were imprinted on his blessed side. So I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please allow us to spread a proper bed on this mat so that you may rest comfortably. And upon hearing this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and what is my relationship with the world? My relationship with the world is like that of a traveler journeying in the scorching heat, who rests for a short while under a tree and then continues on his way. Allahu Akbar. So we are all travelers. You know, this world is like a tree in the middle of a desert. Travelers come to it, rest under it for a while and move on towards the hereafter. Does a traveler, ask yourself this question, whenever you travel, does a traveler ever become attached to a place along the way? Do we ever stop at a hotel to eat and then become attached to it, deciding to reside there permanently and never return home? No, this does not happen. Because home is home at the end of the day. Now, a traveler sees dozens of beautiful places on his journey. Sometimes he stays in hotels that are more relaxing than his home. Yet, he does not get attached to them or lose himself in their comforts. And soon, he returns home. And this world is the same, dear viewers of Madani Channel. We are all travelers, staying here only for a short while, and then soon we are going to embark on the journey to the hereafter. We must never become attached to this temporary world. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw aabiru sabilin." That live in this world as if you are a stranger or a traveler. This hadith contains a profound lesson which you and I, we should engrave in our hearts. You know, base every action and dealing on the basis that it is temporary and not permanent. And let me share with you something. Something that's thought-provoking, a thought-provoking point. Western civilization, which includes atheism, Taoism, etc., is internally disordered. It has no consistent moral code. It does not believe in the Creator. And its slogan is what? There is no God. Astaghfirullah. Maghadullah. They have built the entire system of ethics, character, and social principles upon the principle of survival, also known as mutual coexistence. Live and let live. They say that we will not harm others so that others do not harm us. We will not steal from others so that others do not steal from us. We will not wrong others so that no one wrongs us. And do you know what the flaw in the system is? Anyone who has wealth, anyone who has power, or anyone who has influence ends up oppressing others, humiliating them, and violating their rights. Why? Because he knows he is above the law. Why is he above the law? Because of his wealth, because of his power. He commits injustice openly, causing society to fall into a state of imbalance because no one can do him anything. No one can go and tell him no. He has the money, he has the power. This is not theoretical. No, this is the reality of modern Western society. The root cause of this is what? Is that they have built their civilization upon permanence. Whoever believes he is untouchable becomes rebellious, right? And tyrannical and oppressor. The truth is that this principle is fundamentally flawed. Nothing is everlasting in this world. Everything here is temporary, destined to perish, as mentioned in the Holy Quran. Kullu man 'alayha fan. All residing upon it will perish. Now, in contrast to Western civilization, look at the beauty of Islam, which laid the foundation of civilization, morality, character, and everything else upon seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A true Muslim does not do good to others with the expectation of receiving a favor in return. Instead, His purpose is what? Is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I do good to someone, I don't expect anything in return. I don't want him to also do me some sort of favor or return the good. If I'm doing it, I don't expect that in return. As a Muslim, I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we see a true Muslim refrains from harming others, not to protect himself from harm. We do not greet others with a smile so that they smile back at us. We don't provide financial assistance to someone so we can receive help from them in the future. Rather, Islam teaches us that whatever we do in this dunya, whatever we do in this world, should be done solely and only for the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Let's say, indeed my prayer, my sacrifices, and my living, and my dying are all for Allah alone, a Rabb of all the worlds. This, dear of Madani channel, is the beauty of Islamic civilization. It's not founded on worldly permanence, but upon everything being for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this principle takes root in society, the distinction between the rich and the poor, it vanishes, it goes away. And qualities such as ikhlas, sincerity, brotherhood, love, unity, and selflessness flourish. Now when the battle of Yarmouk ended, the companions, alayhi wa ridwan, they saw and tended to the injured. Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I was carrying water, searching for my cousin. After a long while, I finally found him. He had some wounds and was on the brink of death. I asked, brother, would you like some water? With a trembling voice, you know what he said? He's thirsty. He said, yes, I would. So Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I was about to give him the water when I heard someone else in pain. My cousin was taking his final breaths. He gestured to me and he said, leave me, give it to him first. So I rushed towards the second injured man, and I was about to give him the water. Someone else cried out in pain. The second wounded companion also gestured, you know, and said, give the water to that person, to the third companion, he'll give it to him. So he says that I hurried to the third wounded companion, but he no longer needed water, for he had attained martyrdom. I immediately returned to the second companion, only to find that he too had been martyred. I ran back to my cousin, but by the time I reached him, his soul had departed. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. This, Ewes of Madani channel, is the beauty of Islam. A true Muslim does not live in this world merely for survival, but with a purpose. And that purpose is to live in this world for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the clear difference between Islamic teachings and other civilizations. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon the truthful teachings of Islam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So we have established that we are travelers in this world. Our purpose is not to beautify the world, but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must always keep this reality in mind. We are mortal, right? And soon we are going to leave this world. We're going to depart from this world. I mean, reflect for a moment, that as we are mortal, what benefit is there in fighting? What is there to be proud or arrogant about? What benefit is there in boasting about beauty, intelligence, or wealth? No matter what we do, we're going to eventually die. So what benefit is there in becoming attached to the world? Whatever we have, we will still die one day. So what is the use of name and fame and love of praise? Allahu Akbar. Now once Amir Ahli Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, he was preparing to attend a Madani Mudhakara. So one Islamic brother, he took a picture of him on his phone and showed it to him. And remember that taking a picture on a mobile phone is permissible as long as it is not printed. So anyways, Amiri Ahle Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, said that I liked that picture, but then a thought came that Allahu Akbar, his face will one day descend into the grave. This is the thought that Amir Ahle Sunnah Damal Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah is saying, that I like that picture, but then a thought struck me that this face will one day descend into the grave. And he continued that as soon as I thought this, tears came to my eyes. Allahu Akbar. Look at this mindset, Yusuf Madani Channel. And this is the reality. Now, since we are all mortal and will enter the grave one day, who knows whether our grave will become a garden from the gardens of Jannah or, ma'adallah, a pit from the pits of hell. So what benefit is there in showing off or indulging in pride? Instead, you know, we should live with humility, with gratitude, you know, with contentment, remaining content with whatever Allah Ta'ala has granted us, and protecting ourselves from greed and desire. And in this lies safety, and in this lies our true success. You know, there was a tyrannical ruler, an oppressive ruler named Hajjaj bin Yusuf. In his army, there was a commander called Muhallib. And one day Muhallib was wearing silk garments and walking, you know, with his head up with pride. So when Sayyidina Mutarrif bin Abdullah, rahimahullah, saw him walking very arrogantly, he thought to himself, that, you know what, let me go and call him towards goodness. So he approached Muhallib and said that, O servant of Allah, this manner of walking belongs to those whom Allah Ta'ala dislikes and the enemies of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhallib was the commander of the army, and he was intoxicated by his power, his rank, and his authority, and his position. When he saw someone advising him, he frowned and he said, you know, boastfully, that, do you know who I am? Sayyidina Mutarrif bin Abdullah, rahimahullah, being a man of wisdom, he said very calmly, yes, I know who you are. And he says that your beginning was a despised drop of fluid, and your end will be a foul corpse. And in between these two states, you carry filth in your stomach. Allahu Akbar. Upon hearing this, Muhallib, he came to his senses and he abandoned his arrogant way of walking and he moved on. So, Yusuf Madani Channel, in the beginning, we were nothing. And in the end, we will become a lifeless body that will merge into the earth. The time in between, meaning this life, should be spent in a righteous manner. Pride, arrogance, boasting, and rebelling does not befit us being made of clay. We have come to this world with a purpose, so let us fulfill it and not become attached to the world. Once Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he passed by a mountain. He saw an elderly man engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he asked, why have you not built a house for yourself by which you could protect yourself from the heat and cold? That elderly man, he said, O Prophet of Allah, I had the honor of being in the company of previous prophets alayhim salatu wasalam, and they informed me that I would not live in this world for more than 700 years. And my mind could not accept that I should abandon the worship of Allah to build a house for such a short period of time. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said that soon there will come a people whose lifespans will not exceed 100 years. Yet they will build big, big houses, grand palaces and castles. Allahu Akbar. Lifespan, Yusuf Madani Channel, of 700 years. Yet, look at this mindset of this elderly man. He knew he was going to die one day. And to him, 700 years was short for him. For us, 700 years may sound like a very, very long time. Already, 60 years, some people think it's a very long time. 70 years, oh, it's a very long time to reach there. This elderly man, 700 years, he felt it so short. So why waste time building a home when he could spend his short life worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead? And our condition today is exactly as Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam foretold. Our lifespan is what? Less than 100 years. And nowadays on average around 60 years. But we behave as though we are going to be living forever. Allahu Akbar. So this world, Yusuf Madani Channel, is a temporary abode. We are travelers who will soon leave this mortal realm and journey to the next world. So, we need to try our absolute best to spend this short life in the best way possible, performing good deeds, treating others with kindness. There's no benefits in fights and arguments and greed and jealousy. You know, houses, cars, money, medals and awards, all are going to be left behind when we leave this world. So live in such a way, you know, that people, they aspire to be like you, and that your conduct, your way of living, your character, it becomes a role model for others. Allahu Akbar. So this is how we need to carry out our services of Madani Shunu as a Muslim, as a believer, that we need to go back to our roots. And when we go back to our roots, we see that Muslims, our pious predecessors, years, thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, they lived in a way that they will not be here forever. Right? They didn't live in a way that they are going to be here forever. And that is what made them prosper. That when they lived for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with no hidden agenda, with no, you know, personal gain or personal benefit from the next person, that if I'm going to greet him, then he must, you know, greet me back. Yes, of course. But it's like, for example, if I smile at someone, then he must smile back at me. You know, we shouldn't be living like this with keeping expectations in mind that when we do good for someone, then they must do the same good to us. This we shouldn't keep in mind. If that is the case, then how is the reward going to be there? Rather, if you make your mind, if you make your intention that whatever I do, whatever good I do to anyone, I am doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we need to be in this dunya, the views of Madinah. This is how we need to live in this dunya. So for now, alhamdulillah, we do have a beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, there is much more to discuss. We are still going to be discussing ways to improve our hereafter. We are going to be discussing that as well once we come back after listening to this melodious kalam, in order to rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So do stay tuned, enjoy this kalam, and we will be back to discuss much further inshallah on how to improve our hereafter. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madine hame le gaya tha muqaddar, Madine mein kaisa surur aa raha tha, na hum kaash aate yahan Madine mein kaisa سرور آ رہا تھا، کبھی روبرو سبز گنبد کا منظر، کبھی تکتے ہم ان کے دیوار اور در، کبھی سامنے سرور آ رہا تھا، وہاں راہ چلتے تھے ہم دست بستہ، درود پہ پڑھتے کبھی سارا رستہ، کبھی نعت پڑھتے تھے ہم راستے بھر، مدینے میں کیسا سرور آ رہا تھا، کبھی بیٹھتے ان کی مسجد میں جا کر، کبھی دور سے تکتے محراب منبر، نمازوں کبھی مدینے میں کیسا سرور آ رہا تھا، خوشا دھوپ تھی ٹھنڈی ٹھنڈی وہاں پر، تھی کیا چھاؤں بھی صدرش کے گوہر، مدینے میں کیسا سرور آ رہا تھا، یقین مدینہ ہے صدرش کے جل، سرور آ رہا تھا، مدینے میں کیسا سرور آ رہا تھا، مدینے میں کیسا سرور آ رہا تھا۔
perspective is, I would like to share a beautiful hadith mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah, hadith number 800. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and reports how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, مَا تَوَطَّنَا رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمُ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلصَّلَاةِ وَالذِّكْرِ إِلَّا تَبَشْبَشَ اللَّهُ لَهُ كَمَا يَتَبَشْبَشُ أَهْلُ الْغَائِبِ أَهْلُ الْغَائِبِ بِغَائِبِهِمْ إِذَا قَدِمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. When a Muslim makes the masjid an abode for salah and dhikr, Allah becomes happy with him the way the family of a missing person become happy upon his return. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So what does it mean to make masjid an abode? This means to make it necessary upon yourself to attend masjid. It does not imply that you reserve a specific space for you, right, inside. A hadith prohibits for doing so. The virtue of making the masjid an abode regarding salah and remembrance of Allah Almighty therein, not for worldly purpose and pleasures of the nafs. Rather, it should be for the dhikr of Allah. It should be for the remembrance of Allah, for salah. In the explanation of this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes that keeping a spot for yourself in the masjid such that you cannot retain focus in another area is disliked. It is permissible to reserve a spot if lawful requirements exist. Just as the mihrab is a place only for the imam, and some masajid have an exclusive spot for the mukabbir behind the imam, the two should perform sunnah and nafil prayer in different places. He who sits in an area first is entitled to it. Some sultans of Islam reserved a spot for themselves behind the imam as their lives were at risk if they prayed elsewhere despite having security arrangements. They are resultantly excluded from this ruling, these mentioned ones. Allah Almighty becoming happy with somebody, this means Allah Almighty looking at them mercifully, subhanAllah, and granting them blessings, goodness, and esteem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with those people who frequently attend masajid for salah and dhikr. The way people become happy when they meet their loved ones after a long time. This is purely by the way of example, which is just given, because no example suits best to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just for our understanding. Afterwards, Allah Almighty grants them blessings and honor. What a great abode. Masajid are the best places on the face of this earth. We should attend regular salahs. We should offer salah with jama'at. We should stay in masjid for dhikr, for salah, for remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for tilawat of Quran, for ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we remain attached with our masajid, because these are the forts of our iman. They protect our iman.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. A heart-touching kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure this has increased our love for the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a yearning to go to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take all of us time and time again to the blessed cities of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah for Hajj and Umrah, and increase in our hearts the love of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the worldly abode, and thus far we have explained, elaborated, and mentioned of this temporary abode, why we have been here, and other aspects as well that we have mentioned. And as I've mentioned before, going to listen to this beautiful Quran, that now we are going to be discussing on how to improve and how to prepare for the hereafter. Remember that we are in this world, we are in this dunya, but this world is actually a field for the hereafter. Whatever we do here, we are going to see its results in the life after death. Now, successful people are those who stay busy preparing for the hereafter whilst living in this world. know, they take the gift of good deeds with them for the hereafter. You know, the people of Allah always look towards the hereafter instead of this world. Their way is to sacrifice worldly things to gain benefits in the hereafter. Like Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was a very successful businessman. And usually businessmen think about making a profit and avoiding losses. So once Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sold one of his houses for 600,000 coins. And someone said to him that you have suffered a loss because you sold it so cheap. Sayyidina Zubair bin Al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that you will soon know that I have not suffered a loss because I have given this wealth in the path of Allah. This means that he gave it as charity. A fortunate Muslim who gives his wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never suffers a loss. Instead, he becomes, you know, deserving of reward, and his wealth increases so much through blessings. It's also narrated that Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu had 1,000 slaves who would bring him income from produce and other sources. However, not a single coin from that money would enter his house. Instead, he would give all that wealth away as charity. Allahu Akbar. I mean, we admire the passion of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu for earning the hereafter in exchange for worldly wealth. I mean, imagine if you and I could do that. You know, they were examples of knowledge and action. They fulfilled obligatory and compulsory acts and practice upon the sunnah. They used to recite the Holy Quran, were fond of fasting, and spend their time seeking the pleasure of Allah. And along these things, those who could afford it could give charity in abundance. And in this way, they followed the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remained busy preparing for the hereafter. Right? Now, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's one of those 10 fortunate companions who were given the good news, Ashra Mubashara. He was from Ashra Mubashara, the good news of Jannah by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the pulpit and called out their names one by one, giving them the news of being the people of Jannah. And Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of those 10 lucky people. And he is the son of Sayyida Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the paternal aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his name is Zubair, and his father's name is Awam. And he was the fifth person to accept Islam. And during the Battle of Khandaq, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought news about the activities of the tribe of Banu Qurayza. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased with this achievement and said that every prophet has a loyal friend. And my loyal friend is Zubair. Subhanallah, subhanallah. He was extremely trustworthy. And because of his honesty, people would leave many of their belongings with Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu for safekeeping. When Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was returning from the Battle of Jamal, a person named Ibn Jurmuz followed him and martyred him through deception on the 11th of Jamal al-Ukhra, 36 AH. And his blessed mazar is in Iraq. So we see the use of Madani Shunan, how they sacrificed this world for the hereafter. And truly, you know, the wise person is the one who prepares for death before it even arrives. So one, we should spend life according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The successful person is the one who gathers the provisions for the journey before becoming a traveler towards the hereafter. And remember, this worldly life is very short. Every breath we take is bringing us closer to death. Every breath is taking us towards the end of this worldly life. Every breath is taking us closer to the pit of the grave. Every breath is like a fast step moving us from this world towards the life of the grave, Alam al-Barzakh. Every breath is making our worldly journey shorter. And every breath is becoming a means for us towards the journey of the hereafter. As soon as the string of breaths break, our chain of actions will also stop. So if we don't act now, we're going to feel regret. we won't even be given enough time to say Subhanallah once to increase our good deeds. So we should value this life, spend it in doing good deeds and prepare for the hereafter. Now there is no doubt that everything has a purpose, whether it's clothes, a pen for writing, or a house to live in, or a watch on our wrist, whether it is a bike or an aeroplane, everything has a reason for existing. Every object helps in fulfilling its purpose. I mean, think for a moment, when everything in the universe has a purpose, was man created without a purpose? Is man, who is the best of all creations, without a purpose? Was the creation of man without a reason? No, not at all. Man was not created without a purpose. The Holy Quran, we are reminded, in which it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, that do you think that we have created you without purpose and that you will not be returned to us? I mean, think about this. This verse, the Holy Quran shows that man was created for a special purpose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that purpose himself in the Holy Quran, when he has said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I did not create jinn and mankind but to worship me, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this verse, we learn that humans and jinn were not created for no reason. Rather, the real purpose of the creation is that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no doubt that the world is a sowing field for the hereafter. Every action done in this world is very important for the life after death. So to make the hereafter better, it's important to correct our actions. We need to learn the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and act according to them. If we keep our real purpose, the worship of Allah, in mind and worship Allah ta'ala according to his commands, then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be very easy to improve our hereafter. Right? For example, when exams are held in jami'at, universities and schools, we see and we know, we were there once upon a time, how students prepare for them. Hard-working students forget everything except the exam papers. They don't even think that, you know, I got to eat, I got to drink. They have only one focus, and that is to prepare for the exam. They specifically prepare for every question that they think might appear in the paper. During this time, parents are also, you know, they also fully support the students, their child, because they know that if the son is successful or the daughter is successful, then they are going to earn a living. If the child passes the worldly exam, his life will be better, his life is going to improve. Now, when we and our children work so hard for the sake of this world, we need to work even harder to prepare for the exam of the hereafter. I mean, let us look at ourselves for a moment. Have we ever worried about preparing for the exam of the hereafter? Have we ever felt, you know, restless to pass the exam of the hereafter? As Muslims, we believe that one day we must die. We must enter the dark grave. We do not know how many years we're going to have to stay in the world of barzakh. The barzakh literally means a barrier or a veil. The time of death until the day of Qiyamah is called barzakh. Then the day of Qiyamah will be established. We will have to remain in the plains of resurrection and give accountability of our deeds. So we should prepare for all these stages. What should the preparation of a Muslim be like? And how can a person always remember the hereafter? Now the first way, it is very important to remember death. This is because death is the first step and the very first stage of the hereafter. Now, to remember death abundantly means remembering all the stages of the hereafter. When a person remembers death, he will move towards these that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will try to find out which actions please Allah ta'ala and which actions displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it's mentioned that when the time of the death of Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu came near, he said, "Oh Allah, you know that I have loved poverty more than wealth. I have preferred illness over health. And I have loved death more than life. So make death easy for me in order that I may meet you." Allahu Akbar. If we study the lives of the people of Allah, we will find that they never forgot that they had to leave this world. They always remembered that they were like travelers in this world. And that is why they were always worried about the hereafter and did not focus on the world at all. As mentioned, Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah once visited Makkah al-Mukarramah. He wasn't interested in any in outward show or ostentation, which is why he was wearing very simple and ordinary clothes. So Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Tusi rahimahullah said to him that, do you not have any other clothes? You are the Imam of the time and leader of the people. Thousands of people are your murideen. They are your disciples. Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he said that, why do you look at the clothes of a person who stays in this world like a traveler and considers the beauties of this universe as temporary? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in this world like a traveler and did not collect any wealth, then what is my worth and reality? Allahu Akbar. Look at the simplicity of Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah and his passion for remembering death and the hereafter. No, Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he was a great scholar. And subhanAllah, he wrote many books. And his very famous book that he has written is Ihya al-Ulum. And that book, if a person reads, it will really rectify their lives internally and outwardly as well. You know, when Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah entered Baghdad for the first time with glory, then Sayyidina Abu Mansur Sa'id bin Muhammad rahimahullah, he says that we calculated the value of his clothes and horse, and it was 500 dinars, meaning 500 gold coins. And later, when he chose the path of asceticism and left Baghdad, and after traveling to different places, he returned to Baghdad, we again estimated the value of his clothes, and it was only 15 qirat, meaning a few ordinary coins. Allahu Akbar. So we see the Yusuf Madinah, they didn't take interest in the world. They didn't, fall in love with this world. Rather, they would prepare themselves for the hereafter. So that was the first way to remember death. The second way is to prepare for the hereafter is to adopt the company of righteous people, good people, and the people of Allah, to listen to their stories, to study their lives, study their character, and try to apply them in our own life. Just as a person is worried about making his worldly life better, these pious servants of Allah are much more busy in making the hereafter better. These people spend their lives in such a way that even after they pass away, even just mentioning them becomes a cause for receiving the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when someone joins the people of Allah, he also becomes inclined towards what? Towards making his hereafter better by being influenced by them. Now it's observed that if someone sits with an expert in any field for a few days, he gains some information about that field. For example, if someone sits at a medical store, he will learn something about medicines. Similarly, someone who spends a few days at a grocery shop becomes aware of the prices of items like flour, sugar, ghee, and lentils, etc. A person who spends a few days at a clothing shop starts to know about the quality, the type of the cloth. In the same way, when a person starts sitting with the people of Allah and chooses their company, begins to study their lives, their character, then by the mercy of Allah, he will also develop the same style that is beneficial for preparing for the hereafter. And you will also get that beautiful mindset through which the hereafter can be improved. Why is this? This is because these pious servants of Allah do not miss any chance to improve their hereafter. These pious people immediately do any task that can improve their hereafter. This is why a person staying in their company forgets the attractions of this temporary world and starts moving towards the hereafter. Like Sayyidina Muslih ad-Din Sa'ad al-Shirazi rahimahullah has explained the importance of good company in a very beautiful way. He says that one day in the public baths, I received a piece of fragrant clay from the hands of a friend. So I said to that clay, are you musk or amber? Your beautiful fragrance has made me lose myself. And hearing this, the clay replied, I was just ordinary, lowly clay. However, I stayed in the company of flowers for a long time. So the beauty of my companion had an effect on me, and I became fragrant. Otherwise, I am the same piece of clay that I was before. Allahu Akbar. So we should stay connected to the company of pious people as much as possible, because the company of good people is so powerful that even if an animal receives it, it no longer remains an ordinary animal. Instead, due to the blessings of that company and connection, it becomes special and prominent among other animals. Allahu Akbar. Like, consider the dog of the people of the cave. It was an ordinary dog, but it developed love and affection for the people of the cave, Ashabul Kahf. Therefore, it became the companion, travel partner, and guard. And look at the blessings of the company of the awliya Allah. Its fate changed and its status became so high that Allah Ta'ala mentioned it in His pure speech, the Holy Quran, along with the people of the cave, in which it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. And their dog is at the mouth of the cave with its four legs outstretched. And here, Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah says that when a dog received such a high status by staying in the company of pious servants and saints, rahimahumullah, that Allah Ta'ala mentioned it in the Holy Quran, then what do you think about a Muslim who loves the awliya Allah and gains benefit from their company? In fact, there is, you know, comfort, there is satisfaction in this verse for those Muslims who do not hold a high spiritual rank. This means there is comfort for them that they will be successful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of their love and devotion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to keep preparing for the hereafter by following the lives of the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.